Kenzie.
And I'm Megan.
And welcome to this week's episode of How to Live a Life You Love. Hey guys, today on our podcast, we're talking about community and how we can cultivate friendships and go deep with the people in our life.
Yeah.
You know, this is probably one of my favorite subjects to talk about because community is something I didn't always have.
Right.
And it's one thing that we really can't live without. We do. We need people to do life. And, you know, this podcast, it probably wouldn't have even happened if it wasn't for community.
It definitely wouldn't have happened without community because I would definitely not be alone in my living room, vulnerable enough to put myself out there for the world to hear, recording some of the things that the Lord has taught me, some of my deepest feelings and emotions, just putting them out there. I couldn't do that without a friend.
You're so right. We can do so much more when we link arms with other and we pursue God's call in our lives with other people in community. So for me, community was not something I always had. In fact, I spent a lot of years praying for it. And I think a lot of us are there. We haven't always had those core people in our lives. Friendships is something that, sadly, a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah.
And it's something that we long for, but we're like, where does it exist? Where are these people? And for me, I remember just spending years in my life just praying and praying for God to bring community in my life. And you know, it's funny because the way God brought this community in my life was in a way that I didn't expect. I think that we think our community and our destiny will come to us in this perfectly wrapped package.
Yeah. People that you just click with, you get along with right from the start. And you might in some areas, but, you know, there's some bumps along the way. There's some awkward conversations.
It takes time and it takes work. So for me, it came in a way by attending a new church. And a few years ago, I started going to this church, and I'll never forget the first night I stood in the back of the room and I just watched these young adults and these people worship. And I just stood there and I didn't know what to do. I had never been in an environment like that. And I just wept because I was so in awe of the pure passion that these people had. And as I got to know them and as I kept going and showing up week after week, I realized that they were just as much passionate outside of church as they were in church. And through this season of my life, I cultivated some of the most genuine community that still to this day, they're some of my best friends. And I know for a fact that I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. I wouldn't have moved to Charlotte. I wouldn't have gone to that internship at Elevation, and I wouldn't be walking in my calling, I don't think, if I wouldn't have found those people, because it's through finding your people that you find your destiny.
It's so true. There's this book that I've read called Destined to Win. It's by Chris Fallotton, and it is a book that I will recommend to anyone who is searching for purpose, searching for community, or if you just want some inspirational, insightful reading material, read Destined to Win by Chris Fallotton. He talks all about what you just said, about you find your purpose in your people. He uses the example of the body of Christ. And the example that he uses is that if we are all the body of Christ, if we are all a different part with a different function, we don't know our function until we attach ourselves to the correct part. Meaning that if I am a finger, I feel like I have no purpose because what does a finger do unless it's attached to a hand?
That's so
true. You know, what does a finger do unless it's attached to a hand? But once you find the parts that you attach to, the parts that you mesh well with, then you know your purpose because you're in your correct place.
That's so good. And you know, it reminds me in Acts 2:42, it talks about and it shows us a picture of what real community looks like. And it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. Wow. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were saved.
That is incredible.
So, Megan, practically, how would you say that we can apply that in our lives?
Yeah, I love this verse. And something that I love about it is that, you know, this verse, it mentions prayer. It mentions miracles. Mm-hmm. It mentions good works. Mm-hmm. But more than it mentions those things, it mentions each of those once, but it mentions togetherness and eating together 7 times.
Yeah.
7 times. Mm-hmm. 99% of community is being together and eating together. And that is something I can get on board with. You know, like, just invite me to your house and let's eat.
That's why we have so many taco nights, right?
It's so true. Yeah. We're having one tonight, actually. But it's so true that community is formed around meals, because around meals, around tables, is where conversation is created. We need church for the purpose of community.
Yeah.
You know, like, I actually read this article about a week ago, and it was just talking about, like, all the reasons why millennials don't love church and all the reasons why blah, blah, blah. But the point of the article actually hit home with me, because it said, I don't need church because I can just access great music from my phone. Mm-hmm. I don't need church because I can access an inspirational message straight from my phone. You know what? I can relate.
Yeah.
I don't need church for those reasons either, but what I do need church for is for the body of Christ, for the people that go there, for the people who have the same passion as me, to be surrounded by a community of believers, and that's why I need church.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're all searching for, is a realness, an authenticity inside the church doors, because that's where you should be able to be most real. That's where you should be able to bring your brokenness, is inside church. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's just a beautiful picture. This scripture just paints the most perfect picture of what it actually looks like to be involved in a community of believers. It's sitting together, it's eating together, it's breaking bread together, and it's just community, fellowship, and togetherness.
Yeah, I love that. And so much more than even a building, church is it's the people.
Yeah.
They were doing life together every single day. And in the last verse, I love how it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And I just believe that it brings God joy when we steward our community well. When we cultivate community, we can bring more people into the kingdom of God than we can alone.
I agree.
Because when I love others, that's a representation of God's love for me.
Yeah.
And if I do that in the church, the world's not in the church.
Right.
So we're called to go out and be the church, not just stay within the four walls and in our comfort zones and in our cliques, by going out, grabbing coffee with people, sharing meals together, having conversations.
Yeah.
We need to be getting outside of our walls so that a way we can represent the love of God to the world.
Yeah. It's all about seeking the one who's lost.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with making another convert for Christianity.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with it. It's about meeting them where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
How do we expect to love people if we never encounter them where they are?
Yeah. And you know, we first have to receive God's love too.
Yeah.
When we receive God's love for us, it's only naturally going to overflow onto others. We have to know first that we're loved, so that a way we can love others and point them to that love. And so it just really comes down to that. Are we letting God encounter our hearts? Are we letting His love reach the depths of our hearts? Because sometimes I think that it's hard for us to receive God's love. It's hard for us to receive gifts. It's hard for us to let people love us.
Yeah.
But we need to let others love us and then pour that love back out.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, I feel like that is one of the keys to accessing authentic community, is learning to be loved, learning to be broken around other people, which is so much easier said than done. But another one of my favorite books, I have a lot of favorite books, by the way, I read all the time, but this book, The Broken Way, it's by Anne Voskamp. And one of the quotes that she says in there is that maybe love gets in easier right where the heart is broke open.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is so true.
Yeah.
Our deepest relationships come from the moments where we share our deepest scars.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the deep relationships. They probably have happened because that person stood with you through something that was really hard.
Yeah.
They probably have happened because that person, you let down your walls long enough for them to see who you truly are.
Mm-hmm.
For them to know some of your scars. Shallow conversations breed shallow relationships.
Yeah.
We can't expect to go deep in community to have people who know who we truly are if we aren't willing to bear those scars.
Yeah.
And it's not a pretty thing. You know, like, that requires vulnerability. It requires risk. It requires being willing to let your heart be tended to by somebody else, which is scary.
Yeah, and it takes setting our pride aside and saying, I need help.
Yeah.
I need you to pray with me. I need to share these struggles with someone. And it really is vulnerable, but it's the most fulfilling thing that we can do is mm-hmm. open up our hearts, be broken,
mm-hmm.
and just let people love us and pray with us and deepen those relationships.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I'm so thankful for in my friendship with Megan is we may be laughing over the kitchen counter, you know, one moment, and then the next moment at that same kitchen counter, we may be sitting there crying, praying together. And I'm just so thankful to have a place that I can come home to every day and that I have a friend in my life that I can count on, that I know no matter what I'm walking through, I have a place that I can be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I have a friend that I know will pray for me, that she won't let me sit in my struggles. She's not gonna let me just keep on going in a path that's not gonna lead me to freedom. She is gonna encourage me and convict me and point me out, point out the wrong in my life when there's wrongs and show me a better way. And I know I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for these friendships that I've had in my life. And I'm just so thankful that I get to do this podcast along with someone that it's a friendship that goes deep. This isn't a surface level friendship. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Yeah, same. So I guess the whole point of all this is just to keep it real.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, we feel like we're most loved when we're most put together, but that's not the truth.
No.
We're most loved when we're broken, when we're falling apart, when we can't keep it together, when we expose our hurt, because that's whenever people have the opportunity to say, hey, here's my hand. Can I pick you back up?
Mm-hmm.
If you never fall apart, if you never fall down, you can never be picked back up.
Yeah. And when we're vulnerable with other people, we'll develop that community that our heart longs for.
Yeah.
And there's just a few ways that I can think of that I've really learned from other people of how to do community well. And one of those is to pray for your friends and not just say, I'm going to pray for your friends, but really mean it. If that means typing out a prayer through a text message, asking your friends, hey, how can I pray for you today?
Yeah.
How's your heart? One of the best things any one of my friends has ever done for me is ask me that simple question. How's your heart today?
Yeah.
What are you struggling with?
Yeah.
And I just loved that. And so pray for your friends because real friendship happens on the other side of surface level. And two, to put others before your own needs.
Mm.
There's so much joy that you can find when you lay down your life for others and when you put your friends' needs above your own. And three, to learn how to celebrate people.
Yes.
Celebrate the small wins in their life.
Yes.
It could be
so good.
Nothing, or it doesn't have to be anything at all. Just learn how to be a giver. Learn how to just give and give and give, whether that's writing a letter to a friend, just simply texting a friend and letting them know you're thankful for them. Just celebrate the people in your life because I promise you, you will come away with so much more joy by just giving. And then lastly, to be intentional and show up for people. You know, who in your life needs you to show up for them? Who in your life is hurting?
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of the needs of your friends? Are you asking them? We've got to be intentional about cultivating our friendships because they're not just going to happen. They're going to take hard work.
Yeah, they will. They will. I love that. And you know, you may be in a place where you're thinking, okay, yeah, this all sounds great, but you don't understand. I don't have these types of people in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't understand. I don't know anyone like this, or maybe I'm not involved in a church, or I don't have a church that I can even go to. I'm isolated. I'm alone. Well, let me tell you, the best way to attract people like you is to do more of what you love.
Mm-hmm.
What are you passionate about? what do you love to do? Just like Kinsey said, when she went into that church and she saw their passion both inside the church and outside the church, what happened? It attracted her to the people.
Yeah.
And you know what? The same is true for you. Whatever you are passionate about, do more of it. Talk about it. Get excited about it. Create this fire in your heart, because fire has a tendency to draw people to gather around it.
Yeah. I love that. That's so true.
So if you're looking for people, do more of what you love. Put yourself out there. Find a community of like-minded people who love to do what you do, because chances are people who are passionate about the same things that you are people who you would love to do life with.
You know, there's this verse in Romans 12, 9 through 10 that I love, and it says, "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good, and love one another with brotherly affection. Mm-hmm. Outdo one another in showing honor."
Love that.
And I love that, because what would it look like if we actually strive to outdo one another in love?
Yes.
You know, if we didn't wait for someone to love us, for us to give love.
Yeah, I love that. That is another point that I wanted to make sure that I stated on this podcast, is quit waiting for people to approach you. Assume that they will not.
Yes.
Don't assume that they don't want to. Just assume that they won't.
Yeah.
Because chances are they're thinking the same thoughts that you are. Man, I'm really lonely and I would love a friend right now. I wish somebody would just approach me.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would just step out. Well, you can be that person. You are more than capable of doing that. You are more than capable of walking up to someone and saying, "Hey, how are you today?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's looking for conversation. Everyone's looking for community. So quit waiting for people to approach you. Assume that they won't, and approach them, because I guarantee you they are hoping you will. Learn to take risks, because community involves risk. Deep relationship involves risk. Love involves risk. All of this is a risk.
Yeah.
And you know it's a risk worth willing to take, because community is the thing that makes life worth living.
Yeah, and you never know what's on the other side of that risk. And
yeah.
Megan, as you were talking, it reminded me of actually a pretty big part of my story in the beginning that I kind of left out. And I talked about the community and how this community, I found my purpose through that. And those are some of my closest friends. But really, it took me months to build that community, and I remember thinking, oh my goodness, no one's coming up to talk to me. I don't have friends.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like it here. I don't know. And I just kept in this cycle of just wrestling with, do I stay here because no one's come up to me to talk to me? And then I just remember when it shifted, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to walk up. I'm just going to be patient. I'm not going to assume that people don't want to talk to me, because in reality, we're all thinking the same thing. We're all waiting on someone to walk up to us. And so I often think about, I wonder what would have happened or what my life would have looked like if I would have walked away because community didn't happen right away, because it didn't look the way I thought. You know, and there's a lot of friendships in my life that I can say the same thing to, that it wasn't easy at first. It didn't just, I didn't meet someone and automatically click, you know. Sometimes that happens. Like we talked about in our first podcast.
Sometimes.
Me and Megan went to Chili's and we were like, yes, you are not going anywhere.
Right. We also went deep very fast. So I feel like that's why it's so authentic of a friendship, is like the first time we ever hung out.
That's
laughter
true.
And tears. Laughter and tears.
That's so true.
Over breaking bread.
Yes. Tortilla chips. Breaking those chips. Crying.
Yeah,
laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's such a great example. You know, the deeper you go, the deeper your roots will grow.
Yeah. And Kinsey, you know what? I am so, so glad you brought up that first part of your story where you said it took months, because I feel like a lot of people are about to be set free knowing that community does not happen overnight. So if you feel discouraged, if you feel like, well, this isn't working for me, it is. Just be patient.
Yeah.
You know, shallow root systems, whenever those storms come, just think of a plant. A plant with shallow roots cannot withstand a storm. A plant with deep roots, that's a plant that can stand through anything, you know?
Yeah, I love that. And you know, sometimes you're rooted and you have that community, but like both of us, we talked about on a previous podcast, you move to a new city, and a lot of times it's hard not to compare, and you forget that the friendships before that you had, they feel really close, so you expect moving to a new city that you're just gonna overnight build these great friendships and have this great community, but you forget the time that it took and the hard work it took to cultivate those friendships.
Yep.
And we have to remember that when we're in a new season, then maybe you've gone off to college and you're not around that community that you had all your life.
Right.
You're not around those high school friends anymore, your college friends. Maybe you're starting a family now and you're in a new season with a marriage. Mm-hmm. That brings on a whole other level of it's right. hard. You know, you're married now, but some of your friends are single right. and maybe you're divorced. Maybe you're dating and some of your friends are single. You really have to put in the work to make those friendships happen because honestly, the older we get, the harder it's going to be to cultivate those friendships.
So true. Yeah. Start now because it takes time to build community.
That's so good. And in closing, one of the last things I really want to talk about is how serving your friendships is actually preparation for marriage.
It is so true, girl.
You know, we often hear people talk about how hard marriage is, and you know, marriage is so hard. You
right.
know?
Well, we don't really know because we haven't been there, but.
But we've been told, you know.
Yeah.
Little old lady in church just looks at you and says, get ready. Marriage is hard.
Right.
But I wonder why people don't say that about friendship. And I wonder if we actually started putting the work into friendships, if maybe marriage wouldn't be as hard because we've prepared ourselves right. with the people God's placed right in front of us.
Right.
Friendships take work. Family takes work.
Right.
Relationships take work. And we've got to put in the time and the energy in our service to loving those people well. And when we learn to love the people in our lives well, we're preparing ourselves for marriage.
Right.
When we serve our friends, you know, maybe you live with roommates, and there's a lot of talk also on roommates.
Right.
When I was about to move in with Megan, you know, so many people told me, I don't know if you should move in with your best friend. You're not going to be friends with mm-hmm. her after. You better watch out. And I can honestly say, I mean, we've been living together for 6 months and it has been the best
right.
time of my life. It's like having a sleepover every single day.
Yeah.
And if God has that for friendship, how much more does he desire that of
right.
marriage? You can be hopeful in knowing that yes, marriage takes work, but it's not something that you have to
fear. Yeah. And you know what? That's not to say that there will not be hard seasons
yeah,
because we believe that they will have hard. There's going to be hard seasons in
yes.
every single thing that you do in life.
Yeah.
Anything worth doing takes work, you know? Anything worth having, it's going to take time to plant those roots. Just like community, it takes time.
Yeah.
But we just really believe that learning to die to yourself in a friendship is preparation for learning to die to yourself in a whole nother level of marriage. Because you know what? Learning to lay your life down now is going to benefit you in any relationship, in any season, and in any situation. So just go ahead and practice that self-sacrifice now.
Yeah, and there's so many other practical ways too. Kind of like we talked about with being intentional with your friends, celebrating your friends. We can learn to do those things now, and those things will prepare us for marriage. They will when we're learning how to cook or do all of these things. A lot of times, it's always sad to me that every time a girl gets engaged, she's like, I'm about to get fit.
Yeah!
Get fit right now, girl! Like, if you want to get fit, you don't have to wait. Is marriage your goal, or is it just becoming a better you?
Yes!
Singleness is a great opportunity that we can become our best selves. You know, I didn't really like cooking, and that's one thing that I've had so much fun doing recently is learning how to cook. And the simple things, like dishes and laundry and all the little things that a lot of times people, you know, roommates and
right.
college age people, we like argue over, but we don't have time for that, guys. We don't have time to get caught up in just the backbiting and the gossip. And
yes.
we need to be spending our time just cultivating relationships. Like Megan said, laying down your life. If you see something on the ground, pick it up. You
right.
know, how do we expect to change the world if we can't even pick up trash off the ground?
Yeah.
You know, that's just a statement that convicts me every day.
Right.
And you know, now that I said that, watch, every time you see a piece of trash, you're going to think of that. And I hope you do because someone told me that once and it changed my life.
Right.
It seems like such a simple statement, but it's true. We've got to learn to be faithful in the little things and faithful with the people right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can take this advice or leave it. Like Megan said, we're not married. So
right.
We're not trying to speak from experience. We're just saying that we found such contentment in being single just through cultivating friendships.
Right.
Like every season is a gift. And you don't have to rush through this one. You don't have to rush through singleness because you're never going to have this season ever again in your life. And I don't want to look back one day and have regrets because right. I know God will be faithful to bring me a spouse one day. I know God will be faithful to bring me a family, but right now he hasn't. And so it's up to me to choose to live present every single day.
That's so good. You know, one of my favorite podcasts is Moral Revolution. That's a Bethel podcast. And yes. In that podcast, there's a teaching and Chris Valentin says that marriage is like climbing a mountain. And I don't know, but that sounds pretty difficult to me. I've never climbed a mountain, but I assume that it's difficult. What I love is that when you said, brides say, I'm about to get married, it's time to get fit. And that just made me think of this mountain that we're climbing, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing that I want to say is that you don't have to wait till the day of the race to start preparing mm-hmm. for what you're going to have to run.
Yeah.
It's about what you're doing now.
Yeah.
And so we don't believe that marriage is going to be this walk in the park. It's going to be a mountain for everyone.
Yeah.
But it's going to be easier to climb for the people who have invested time in preparing to climb that mountain. And that's what we want to encourage you to do, is to start getting fit now. Whether that is spiritually, whether that is physically, whether that is emotionally, get fit now, because if you're wanting to climb the marriage mountain one day, it's going to be difficult. So you might as well start preparing yourself now.
Yeah, and no matter how much experience someone has with climbing mountains, like you said, it's still going to be hard, but the person who has put in the time to prepare,
yeah.
like you said, it's going to be so much easier
yeah.
than someone like me 2 years ago who couldn't even do a girl push-up.
You know? I love it.
Who's eating cosmic brownies for breakfast.
Yes.
I would have struggled.
Little Debbie's don't climb mountains. I'm not cutting that out.
Oh, that was good. That is so true.
So true.
I would have probably died. I couldn't run from one mailbox to the next. So, you know, it wouldn't have been good for me. So no matter what, it's going to be hard. But when you prepare, it's going to be easier. You've already had the tools, the preparation.
Right.
You've developed yourself and you're ready to climb up that mountain. You've got everything you need.
Right. I agree. That's awesome.
So I hope that this encourages you today just to cultivate friendships in your life, you know, to seek out people, to pray for your friends, to celebrate people, and to mm-hmm. spend your time, if you're a single person, preparing for your marriage one day.
Right. And then also in all of these things, be intentional, because you do not have enough time, you do not have enough capacity, and you do not have enough grace to go deep with everyone. So please be intentional as you seek out who God has called you to walk with, because like we mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, your people really do impact your purpose.
Yeah. That's so good. Mm-hmm. So we just want to end with praying over you guys. And we're just going to pray that God will bring those people in your life.
Yeah,
if you're struggling with community, we're agreeing with you in prayer that God will bring those people.
Yeah, he will.
So Jesus, thank you so much for the gift of friendship. Thank you for your purpose. Thank you for your purpose for our lives, to do life in community. Mm-hmm. Thank you that you never created us to live alone. And thank you for the gift of church and the gift of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus, I pray for all of our listeners right now. If they're struggling to find community, I pray that you would bring divine connections mm-hmm. into their life, God, that it may not come in the way they expected, but I pray that you would just bring those people. And I pray for those who are waiting for someone to walk up and talk to them, that they would go out and they would seek friendships,
yes.
that they would receive your love, and that they would let it overflow onto mm-hmm. all of those they come in contact with, Jesus. And I pray for us who are single, Lord, I pray that we would manage our time well as a single person. I pray that we would use this season to glorify you and to prepare mm-hmm. for the marriage and the family that you have for us one day. I pray that we would spend our time investing in relationships, that we would learn to show up for people, mm-hmm. and that we would learn how to celebrate people as you have celebrated us. And we thank you. We thank you for the friendships that you're bringing into our lives. And we thank you for what you do through your church. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with me more, you can find me on my blog at kinseycoburn.com.
And if you'd like to support my store and mission to help fund adoptions, you can shop online at goodthings.company.
Thank you again for listening. And if our podcast has blessed you in any way, we would really love to know. So please take just a few minutes and leave us a review and let us know what you think.
We can't wait for you to join us next week.